T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark Hochman.
My favorite ice cream truck treat is Cheetos.
Channing Crowder.
Hey, Sugarfoot. I wake up, I piss excellence.
Alejandro Solana.
February.
You sound like asthma.
I'm naked right now.
All right, and moving on.
Sports.
Someone texts in, they want to know if you'll honk your horn.
How about that?
Now, why did Deerfield Beach proclaim a Channing Crowder Day?
No idea.
Don't throw any eggs in my house, Crowder.
More sports.
Give me that donkey button and big old legs. I ain't too proud to beg.
No, I would never doo-doo here at the station.
The most sports.
You telling me you don't want to grab a beer in the middle of the night?
You know what I want for Hanukkah? I want a cameo from Aiken Adele.
The Hochman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Just going to say this one time, and then I'll move on. You and I once sang the praises of DeMar DeRozan, and then Jimmy Butler made him look foolish.
Yes.
And then there was a huge montage to start the show of you and I talking about DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I remember.
Solana prattled on for 2.5 hours yesterday, maybe 3 hours, about how disrespectful we were being to Caleb Martin. Somehow, I don't know, by suggesting maybe you bet the under 15.5 points, that maybe, you know, it's a sucker's bet, that Vegas is trying to goad you into betting the over because Caleb Martin is the next great NBA superstar. Solana, I mean, put everything on that argument.
Got mad at us.
Mad at us. Got mad at Lee Sterling.
Yelling at guests.
And there is no Caleb Martin montage of, I believe what we got was, here's a clip of Hawk and Crowder, and then here's Jimmy Butler doing something great. And then here's a clip of Hawk and Crowder, and here's DeMar DeRozan, you know, shooting an air ball. I didn't hear anything there, Solana, unless I missed it. I didn't hear anything about you singing his praises and then him missing, what, like 6 out of 7 shots, something like that?
Wasn't his best game.
This was a rest your Caleb in the fourth quarter game.
Arrest your Caleb in the second. Leave some guys mackerel with him. Like Max Strus. Him and Max Strus should have went out to eat.
So Max Strus, I actually put real money on Max Strus on over 9.5 points.
Oh!
9.5 points. That dude went 0 for 10. All 10 good looks. He could have easily had 25 points. Easily.
Yes. No.
I had actual money on Max Strus. That was painful, man.
We talked about it too. We kept talking about, I said, let me see that first quarter and see how they come out. Is it an excuse or is it a reason? The Denver, the rest, Rust, we talked all about it yesterday. The Heat did not look like they had the energy or the wrist strength to put the ball through the basket.
Remember all the way back to yesterday, and I said this could be the start of the greatest sports month in the history of South Florida.
Yes.
Well, today is National Donut Day, so let's just enjoy that.
Pretend
like it didn't happen.
I said, you know what? It's going to be great as long as it's close, as long as the games are competitive. That was a blowout from the beginning. They got within 9 in the fourth. I got a little excited, and then they chopped my legs out from underneath me again. Nikola Jokic. Let's put it on who it really was.
I didn't even really get that excited when they cut it to single digits. I have to tell you.
11-0 run, an 11-0 run got me going.
It was all right. But I never felt like I'm being honest with you, because I heard, like, John Crotty's going to join us today. I watched Crotty and Eric Reed after the game. I listened to Jason Jackson, Amy Audibert after the game. I've seen a lot of the social media tweets from people who cover the team. And a lot of people were like, oh, no, listen, you know, that kind of game gives me hope for the Miami Heat. A lot of people were like, Crotty was super upbeat after that game. And I had a different feeling, because I felt like the Heat were never really in gear. So yeah, that gives me hope. But I also felt like the Nuggets never put it to full throttle. And that makes me a little bit nervous. I understand Nikola Jokic had a triple-double, but I kind of feel like he wasn't even that interested in scoring. I think when he did score, it was because he had no other option. Time was running out on the shot clock. He was standing there, and so he just, bloop, drops one in. Three, bloop, drops that in.
They had the game plan. Nikola Jokic, what did he take, three shots in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable.
They had the game plan. The Heat, whatever the Heat was, how they were, you know, working and doubling Jokic, like, it was intense. I don't know, Spo's a great coach, but the Denver Nuggets knew how we were going to attack Jokic, and they were ready. Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, who Aaron Gordon's a dog now. I can't talk bad about Aaron Gordon
anymore. Michael Porter Jr.
They can play ball, but they knew what was coming. They knew what was happening. It was we got out schemed in that first game. But Hawk, the 11-0 run to cut it to single digits with what was like 7 minutes left in the fourth, with as bad as we played, with Caleb and Strus were at that point, we're like 1-for-12, and we're single digits. That did bring me hope. If they just stayed at 21 plus points and just kept whooping our ass, I would have been very scared for game two. If we shoot 31% from 3-point line, we might win that damn game.
Again, my only thought on that is, you know, everyone keeps saying that. Well, if you go, who was it? It was Strus, Robinson, and Caleb Martin were what? So I was like 2 of 23 or 3 of 23.
I think they ended. I have the numbers here. They ended 2 of 23 from the field, 2 of 16 from deep. Caleb hit one. Duncan hit one.
I mean, it's shockingly bad numbers. Again, the only thing that gives me pause, because you go, hey, if you convert on 7 of those and you're 7 of 23, different ball game. The only thing that gives me pause is, well, I kind of feel like if you convert on 7 of those, Denver might try harder. And I'm not certain they were trying their hardest. It's the only thing that gives me some pause about last night. Because I feel like you didn't weather their toughest storm. They're a damn good basketball team. Jokic, like I said, triple-double. I don't feel like the Heat weathered their toughest storm.
And that's the hard part to say. What if now we adjust back to these shooters, and then now Jokic takes 17 shots in the first half or something crazy like that. Now how are we going to deal with that? No, we're behind the eight ball right now, Hawk. I'm with you on that, but we can play with them. Do you agree with that? We can play with them. Even at their best, we can play with the damn
glimpse. I saw a glimpse at the end of the game that we can play with them. That's what I saw. Like, I know I'm on an island on this because everyone wants to be upbeat and positive. I saw a glimpse that the Heat didn't give up, which we've seen throughout the season. We know that's one of their great traits. And they were able to chip away at the lead and make it a little bit of a game at the end. Did I see that they could play with the Nuggets for a brief period? I saw it. I need to see more out of Jimmy.
And even on those first half threes, When they're rotating back to their coverage, they were always one step late. They were just one step behind the Nuggets. And I think Spo and the boys will address that. Legs, if it's legs, if it's, you know, whatever Denver Nuggets had a week off. Whatever that was, it seems as if I've watched the Heat have energy. And really, honestly, let's say the entire playoffs. They're here because they outwork and out energy other teams. The passion they play with. We got out energy and out passion last night. And that was surprising to see out of this team, because they know they are not the most talented team. But, hell, we weren't the most talented team last series. We talked about it. We might have had New York. But Milwaukee was more talented. We can't just out-talent anybody. And now they're going to out-hustle us? There's not a damn chance in hell. But game two is going to be different, Hawk. I'm not just being positive Heat man or homer. I really saw positive things last night with that game being out of hand for the entire damn game.
Look at that. Solana saluted you, and I hope you are right. I hope you are right. Spo maybe got a little cutesy when he said, oh, we'll tip off on Mount Everest. You know, a little cutesy. Yeah. Maybe Death Valley. Go deeper. Don't go higher because you kind of looked out of sorts a little bit. Maybe go lower.
And all the shooters, too. This might be a little Heat homerish. What's my man who's hitting them late? Highsmith?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He went to shooting.
Highsmith had a game.
He never plays, so he never shoots. So the altitude and the change of ball when you're up there, just like kicking field goals in the NFL, the longest kicks are made in Denver because the air is different in the ball. The other shooters we have, the Duncans and the Calebs, they weren't used to it, but they've been shooting a lot. Haywood came in there and he just started shooting. And oh, but you know what? Now they're up there today to the shoot around. They're going to have shoot around tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Game two is going to be different. Game two will be different.
I think you will see plenty of Harwood Smith. And he himself said that he's going to be guarding Murray.
I don't know his name yet. I know he has a bad hairline up front.
Hardwood Smith. Isn't it Hardwood Smith?
Close, but no, not Hardwood Smith.
All right. Go ahead. Give us your opinion, Solana. We got to get headlines here because John Crotty's going to join us, but I want to hear your opinion of what you witnessed last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned you listened to everybody who covers the team. You mentioned Crotty, Amy Otterbert, Jason Jackson.
Well, I watched the Bally Sports Sun postgame show, and they bring on all the radio people except you and Tommy Tighe. Yeah. So that's why I didn't see you guys.
Yeah, and didn't mention anything about the cool down or the Heat postgame show with Tommy Tighe or myself. All right.
How'd it go? Was it good?
It was great. Yeah. No, it was excellent. Following game one loss, Hawk. Really thrilled about it. Definitely. No, I'm with Crowder. I mean, Jimmy Butler only put up 14 shots. The Heat set an NBA playoff low with only two free throws attempted in that game. Funny enough, you know who took them? Hardwood Smith. So, yeah. To me, that doesn't happen. Early on in the game, Aaron Gordon just little boying Gabe Vincent, finding that mismatch time and time again. Well, now the Heat know that can't happen, right? So you take away 12 points in the first quarter from Aaron Gordon. I'm not saying he won't score, but it won't be a dominant performance from Aaron Gordon. There is a part of me, though, that does see Hawks' viewpoint here, where Jokic in the first quarter didn't even put up a field goal until 3 seconds left, and it's because Cody Zeller gifted him a basket. And
Everybody go with Zeller, by the way. Everybody seen enough?
I have. Are we raising hands? Yeah. I'm on. I don't need much more, Cody.
I got a text from a friend of mine that said, I hope the next move with Cody Zeller is to blast him into outer space.
Going back to the locker room, Cody. Watch it on TV. We don't even like you on the bench.
Well, I know Kevin Love last night, Solana.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know why Spo hasn't gone to Love. I expected Love in the non-band minutes. I really did. Especially when Jokic isn't on the floor. He's just – he's very slow as well. Like he is. You know, he's just not that guy anymore who used to be very athletic. He's just not.
And, you know, one other thing I noticed to just looking, not even schematics running around and picking posts – they are way bigger than we are. And Mike Wallace talked about it. He was talking about being aggressive, getting to the paint. And I was like, why isn't anybody driving? And then I looked and I was like, there's a bunch of big human beings down there. I wouldn't go in there either.
Tell you what, Mike Wallace texted me last night during the game. Denver has played smarter in 7 minutes than Boston played in 7 games. And that's a pretty astute observation, right? That they're playing smarter. Like Solana just said, you won't see some of that stuff because Spo is going to correct that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an astute observation by Mike. They have played smarter in 7 minutes than Boston played in 7 games. And then he texted me, how many times did I say today how much of a problem Gordon could create? Still, though, the Heat aren't going to back down. Like, he was right.
Yeah.
Gordon created a major problem. Yeah.
And Gordon wasn't calling for no help on Jimmy either. That was the scary part. Just, I got him.
He's good, man. He's really good. That's why I thought Caleb was going to have a big impact in game one because I expected Aaron Gordon to do
He had an impact. You were right there.
Mm-hmm. Huge impact. Without him, that game would have been different.
But, Hawk, Max doesn't go 0 of 10 or whatever it was. And he goes 4 of 10 on mostly wide open looks. Duncan,
I mean, wide open.
Wide open, especially in the first half. Duncan knocks down 2 or 3 rather than 1 of 7 or whatever he was. And Caleb, you know, is going to have a bigger impact, all jokes aside, in this series. And it's a different game. I'm with you. At times, it seemed like Jokic was coasting. Murray was just doing whatever he wanted. Dude shooting, I think, 93% on mid-range jumpers. Like, it's stupid what they're doing. But you did see some positives with the Heat defense late in the game. They held them to poor three-point shooting, and that wasn't just a matter of them missing. The Heat were making it tough on them. And, bro, Haywood Highsmith.
Bam was great, by the way. We didn't even mention Bam yet. Bam was great.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Bam played.
Amazing. But Haywood Highsmith outscored Jimmy Butler in an NBA Finals game.
Can't happen.
Had almost as many field goal attempts as him as well. Like, you're never in a good spot if that's the case.
Are Heat fans complaining that they only got to the line twice? Like, hey, refs, you did a bad job. Or are Heat fans saying, hey, you got to get more aggressive. It's crazy that you're not getting to the line.
Yeah, well, you saw some of it last night where you're saying a 20-2 disparity from the line. That is a number that pops out at you, and you kind of, you know, you think
you
to yourself.
See that. You don't see a team going to the line twice in an NBA game.
No.
Especially not the Heat. The Heat, the one thing you could count on all season long was Jimmy and Bam getting to the free throw line, and their shooter sucked all year. The Nuggets want the Heat to settle for mid-range jumpers. That is what they do. Crowder, you talked about drop coverage all day yesterday. Well, Bam Adebayo, his jumper was there. He was feeling it, and he ate. But The question becomes, do you want them to settle for mid-range jumpers? Last night, they fell into the trap that Denver wanted them to, and the Heat can't allow themselves to do that. Those three-point looks are going to be there. The mid-range jumper is going to be there. But if it's not falling, attack the rim. Put a little pressure on Jokic at least force the officials to consider putting him in foul trouble. Two free throws, Bam and Jimmy had none of them, is unacceptable in an NBA Finals game.
All right. Let's get headlines because John Crotty is going to join us, and we have all 4 hours to talk about what went wrong. Although I would like to talk about the Florida Panthers because they play tomorrow. Stanley Cup Final begins. Here are your headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Loaded sports weekend.
Talk about it.
This sports update, it's driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Also brought to you by Dade County Federal Credit Union, a financial institution you can trust. Crowder's friends at DCFCU are offering a 9-month CD for 4.25% APY. Open your CD today with a minimum of $500. Secure your savings now. Open your account today. Visit dcfcu.org/save, S-A-V-E. For more information, federally insured by NCUA. So game two is Sunday, 8 p.m. Guys, Tyler Hero, we'll probably find out tomorrow or Sunday. He may end up as questionable on the injury report.
Which would be, I think, a nice addition based on what you saw last night. Because if you're needing points, like, he'll drive. He'll create, and as long as he's healthy, that's the real question. Like, as long as he can do it, I mean, you've seen him do it all season long.
My thought on – we talked about it when he went out, and the thought when we – me, I'll put me because you're going to say I have no guts. When we didn't even know he was going to make it to the NBA Finals, and the thought was, oh, he might be back for the Finals, was it would be a great infusion of offense bringing Tyler back. But you said create, Hawk. How healthy is his hand? Because if he can't spot up and shoot, can he really dribble? Can he really drive? Is he really going to throw his hand up there to get slapped by somebody when he's trying to take it to the rim? I don't know after coming off a broken hand.
I would say we'll find out real quick. And Spo will know and Tyler will know. Like, if he does play Sunday night, we'll find out real quick.
And they're going to leave people wide the hell open because they just left people wide the hell open and beat the hell out of them.
Until you show me that you can hit your shots.
Yep. And Gabe, you know, they need to put Gabe in more because Gabe started letting him rip when he got in.
Should have bet his over.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Caleb Martin, the return, game two, Sunday.
Stick with it, brother. Stick with it.
Book it.
Let me see if there's any prop bets for him yet. You want to know? You want to guess?
To that point, like when LeBron has a bad game, when Wade has a bad game, you know he's going to bounce back. Is Caleb to the point in our minds that, oh, he got to bounce back
now?
Well,
he is in Solana's mind. That was the entire argument yesterday, was that he was thinking of him as LeBron and Dwayne Wade.
50 Solana. Burger incoming. Book it.
There are some player props for Sunday night, but not Caleb Martin just yet. Jokic, 27.5, which was his over-under yesterday. He ended with 27, by the way. I don't even want to imagine having either side on that. Jamal Murray, 26.5 Sunday night. Jimmy Butler, 25.5. Michael Porter Jr., 15.5.
Jimmy over.
I mean, he's got to.
I'm just like, that has to be a big part of this scheme.
Got to be adjusting. A 30-point game.
It has to be, let's get Jimmy going, because that's
18
our
of them
guy.
Coming at the line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they attack. And then run at Jokic and hit him in his chest.
Scratch him.
Do something, Hawk. And he's a mouth breather. I hate mouth breathers. Just do something to him. He get on my nerves when we're playing him.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly enough bloody last night, right? Like, I want him leaving the game.
I'm saying it was kind of like the Heat were coasting a little bit. They never really got into gear. Like, that's because they're a team that'll you know, make them bleed.
Yeah, but to that, not even bleeding. Just no hard fouls, no animosity, no pushing and shoving after the whistle. Like, this is the NBA Finals. There was no energy like
I expected. It was more heated on this show during the Lee Sterling segment.
Yes.
And in the game last night.
Put Solana in.
Yeah.
My wife actually watched the game with me and saw Struce and was like, that's Solana? That his cousin? I was like, he's playing like him right now, baby.
My God. You couldn't believe what you were looking at.
No.
Struce couldn't believe what was happening.
Think about the people that really didn't watch the Heat until now. Mm-hmm. They are amazed that we made it to the finals.
Imagine Joe Mazzulla watching that game on the couch.
It's like, are you kidding me? Come on.
You bleeping kidding me?
We lost to that team?
Come on.
He's sitting there with 18 timeouts next to him because he saves them all.
Anything else?
Let me run through these quickly. There's a Coral Gables regional tonight. The University of Miami, they play Maine, 7 p.m. Alex Rodriguez Park at Mark Light Field. That game's also on ESPN Plus tonight for those of you that want to watch it. The Florida Panthers, game one, Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow, 8 p.m. puck drop. They play in Las Vegas.
We'll talk about that game. Randy Moeller is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour today.
Los Marlins host the worst team in baseball, the Oakland Athletics. They only have 12 wins this season.
You were going to say they only have 12 people on the roster. They're just going through the motions.
That wouldn't be wrong either.
They only have 12 wins?
They only have 12 wins. I was looking at the standings this morning. There isn't another team that isn't at least in the 20s.
Right.
The Royals are the only team that aren't at 17. The A's are 12-46.
Wow.
So you can pretty much book it. Athletics sweep the series this weekend. Go ahead. Put it in.
They're figuring out the new pieces.
Inter Miami, they're on the road. Oh, I'm sorry. They're back at Drive Pink Stadium, 7:30 p.m. They, of course, fired manager Phil Neville yesterday at around 5:45. Hawk spoke about it at the end of the show. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations at 866-954-MORE.
It is cloudy with a temperature of 82 degrees and a flood watch.
There's no way that there's another flood watch. Jimmy, you're just making things up now.
Yeah, no, there is. There's a flood watch until Sunday at midnight.
Well, where is it? Like Kissimmee? Where is it?
Here.
Davey's ugly right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very cloudy outside.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Solana?
We're good to go.
All right. John Crotty is going to join us next. We'll talk some Heat Nuggets with him.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
God bless. Good night, darling.
Hawk and Crowder.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, reminder, finals frenzy. Don't let last night put a little damper on it. Finals frenzy in South Florida. The place to get geared up is Caneswear in Davie. Get into the spirit. Get all geared up. Shop at the store on University Drive in Davie or shop online at caneswear.com. Caneswear, the spot Miami fans shop. We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. John Crotty played in the NBA for a decade, and he's the TV analyst for the Heat on Bally Sports Sun. By the way, for the finals, just like rounds two and three, you can watch Crotty and Eric Reed on Bally Sports Sun for a local post-game show upon completion of each game. Sunday night's game, by the way, begins at 8 p.m., a little half hour earlier since it's Sunday night. And Crotty is joining us now. Hello, Crotty.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
So, well, you tell us. You know, I mentioned to Crowder and Solana, like, I watched you and Eric after the game last night. You were fairly upbeat for a game that, you know, we had all just watched and were bummed about. But you've had now, you know, a full night and a little bit of a day to marinate. So what are your main takeaways from game one, the loss last night?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's pretty rare. Again, we would have been the first NBA team, I think, in the history of the league ever to have won, you know, the first game of every series we were in on the road. So that's pretty unique. So to think we would have done that last night and continued that amazing trend, you know, you got to be realistic. They did what they were supposed to do, Denver did, and that's defend their home court. I think, you know, what was, you know, negative was the fact that you see how talented this team is, particularly Jokic, and how he can control the game as a passer and get everybody else involved and make them better. That's what scares me. I mean, he's a really good player. And, you know, to me, if there's a way you can try to guard him straight up, not help, not double team as much, almost make him more of a scorer as good as he is, and try to prevent him from raising the level of the guys like Aaron Gordon, who he got going early in the paint, or Jamal Murray in the two-man game, you know, coming off comfortably getting shots based upon his screens and dribble handoffs, and Michael Porter Jr. on his driving kicks and getting some open threes for him, and Brown coming off the bench. So, you know, that to me is going to be the big decision and adjustments that Coach Spo is going to have to make. And it's a lot easier for me to talk about it than it is to actually go out and do it. So this is a very talented team, but, you know, Miami has shown all throughout the course of this playoffs they can take a punch and they're resilient and they can come back and they can beat anybody.
And, Crotty, to that point of the adjustments, because we were talking about it earlier, where once you saw that Jokic wasn't going to try to go out and score 30 in the first half, he was going to facilitate, can you adjust mid-game to that? Is that something you really have to sit down with the guys and express? You played a whole season through. Like, is that something you need time to adjust to? Because it was totally obvious that they knew what we were trying to do to Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, you can. It's very hard. It requires incredible discipline and focus. And so much of it is the guys that are guarding what I would call the others outside of Jokic have to be absolutely diligent about staying, you know, close enough to their guy. You play basic help defense, right? You can't hug up on your guy and just be isolated. You got to help and prevent easy drives and blow-bys, but you got to get back to your guy and guard them, stay between them in the basket. We saw a bunch of cuts where Murray got some backdoor cuts. We saw Aaron Gordon getting opportunities to post inside. There's got to be a mix of pressure on the basketball, trying to make it tough for Jokic to pass over or around the defender, and that's typically Bam. And then there's got to be great focus and discipline by the guys guarding the others to take away those easier cuts. They're going to make shots, and they're going to get shots, but, you know, you're just trying to make things as hard as you can. This is, you know, the number one field goal percentage scoring team in the whole league this year, over 50%. They're the number two passing team in the league out of 30 teams this year in regards to assists a game. They hit both of those numbers like on the almost on the dot last night. So they played their game. They got to their comfort level, and Miami's just got to find a better way to disrupt them. And then on the offensive end, you know, I think there could be vast improvement. I mean, Miami missed some shots that they typically would make, and it really impacted their ability then to be able to get back and defend as well.
How do you explain that, those missed shots? How do you explain Max Strus going 0-for-10 on good looks? How do you explain a few nights prior Caleb Martin looking like an Eastern Conference Finals MVP and then last night looking like not an Eastern Conference Finals MVP? Duncan was off. Like, how do you explain that?
You know what, Crowder? I don't know how you deal with this man sometimes, you know? I mean, how do I explain that? I mean, let's see. Caleb Martin shooting like 43% from beyond the arc, had a bad shooting night. Strus, you know, to me, got a little bit too caught up in the three-point shot. He's a 36% shooter during the course of the playoff run, so very respectable. Those are guys you want taking those shots. I mean, 0-for-9 beyond the arc for Strus, to me, I thought he took some tougher ones. Jimmy Butler was really on point, I thought, after the game, saying, I think we fell in love a little too much with the jump shot. And, you know, you see that in the disparity in free throws with Miami only getting two. But I'm going to say this. I don't think it was a poorly officiated game. I'm not putting any blame on the officials. I think it's on Miami to be more aggressive attacking that paint and drawing contact and forcing the defense to collapse to create even better open opportunities. So I can't explain why they miss it per se, but I think they will make more shots, and I think they'll get better quality shots. How's that, Hawk?
Well, how do you explain only two free throws, Crotty? You just did.
Again,
I'm just teasing you.
I just wanted
to follow up with a how do you explain question, because you obviously didn't
explain
question. But I think the reason that you got a little cantankerous there was because you couldn't explain it. I asked you a question that you couldn't answer. I think you took that
You're
as a
right.
personal affront because you had no answer.
Oh, man, Crowder, you must.
Hey, we bring you on as an expert, and then
heavily.
All of a sudden you couldn't explain something. You lashed
you
out at me.
Drink heavily. You got to drink heavily after these daily programs.
Oh, Crotty, 7 years, bro. My kidneys and liver are shot.
What, Crotty? With
I'm not going to ask. I won't say explain. A different way of asking, but Jimmy.
I'm begging you to ask me to explain like, something. I'm begging Friday, you.
Friday, this game is painted as, you know, Jokic versus Jimmy. They have odds out who's the MVP. And Jimmy Butler, Hemi Buckets, he's putting in a trademark offer to name himself Hemi Buckets, and he's so passive. I would expect out of the other guys that haven't been there, that don't have that personality, John, but Jimmy Butler being passive, that seemed like oxymoronic to me.
Yeah, look, I don't know if you can categorize it as being passive. He had seven assists. He led the team, you know, in that area. He only had one turnover, so he's managing the basketball. But, look, I agree with you. He is so rare as a star the way he values the ball. He is such an efficient player. Most stars that you play with, they'll take so many shots. They don't care. They don't value possessions the way Jimmy does. I want Jimmy to take 20 plus shots. I want him to get to the free throw line 10 plus times. I think he's got to be in that area for Miami to have the greatest success. And that doesn't mean he's going to shoot the highest percentage, but if he's that aggressive with 20 plus shots, he's going to force the defense to react to him. And he makes the game easier for everybody else, guys. That's what he does consistently. And why we saw the Heat, you know, have such great success in the playoffs so far. We've seen him hit at a high level with that aggressiveness, but also the other guys getting, you know, better opportunities. So, look, I agree with you. And I think, you know, if you listen to his post-game comments, I think he stepped, you know, and he leaned right into that. He leaned right into that and said, I got to do better and I got to be more aggressive getting in the paint. And, you know, I think, the two free throws, I didn't think the Heat were really passive by any stretch, but I also do feel like they fell in love with the three-point shot. You know, 39 threes, it's not something we haven't done before, but we weren't as aggressive in the paint as maybe we could have been, at least with the driving kick game.
When you talk about being aggressive, though, how about Bam last night? Bam was a superstar.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, that was a lot of shots for him. On the counter side. You know, that was a career field goal attempts night for him in a playoff game. And it's got to feel, I think, for him personally, after leaving, I think the matchup was tough for him in that last round against Boston, against Robert Williams in particular. Just couldn't get the speed advantage and the length and height was tougher for him, where he was having to shoot over top a lot. He's got the speed advantage on Jokic, and he's able to, you know, attack off the dribble, beat him down the floor a few times. He got the mid-range going, shot going, which is really big for his confidence. And he just kept flowing and going, right? And then, you know, we need him on the glass. It's huge when he gets into that double-figure range. Four offensive rebounds is a big lift for him. So we need the same, you know, type of production from him with Jimmy continuing to be more aggressive and just some better shooting from, you know, the guys who are accustomed to seeing make higher percentage shots.
And you mentioned Bam having that mid-range jumper going, Crotty, and late in the game when the Heat kind of make that push, cut it to nine with about 2:44 left in the game, you know, it was a lot of high pick and roll action. Kyle Lowry just stepping up, knocking down threes, taking advantage of the fact that Jokic is playing drop coverage. He's sitting in the paint, and he's not really attacking or blitzing the shooter. Are the Heat simply just going to have to take advantage of that this series and just knock down those jumpers?
So. Yeah, I think so. Similar to Milwaukee, very similar to what Brook Lopez, their seven-footer, would do. That's what's called drop zone as well, right? So instead of showing up on a screen, that center is backing all the way off and basically standing in front of the rim. So you can come right off the screen, but you're running right into him. So you can't get a layup or a runner. You got to either take like a pull up 12 to 15 footer, or you're going to drive and you're going to kick it out. And I think when you know that's how they're playing you, it, in your mind, it allows you to kind of come to the conclusion that I'm not going to get to the basket. I got to either get comfortable with my feet on the pull up, or maybe a longer runner where you have the space to shoot over top, or I got to drive and kick. And, you know, I thought Miami at times got caught in between there. But Bam in particular on the pick and roll, on the dive, after he sets the screen, he rolls to the basket. He was open there more against the Nuggets than we've seen in the previous series.
So what do you see happening on Sunday night, Crotty?
I see a more competitive game. I mean, this game ended, you know, with a score that, you know, to me was not really indicative of how close it was, right? I mean, Miami loses by, I believe it was like 11 points, but, it felt like it was much bigger than that throughout the course of the game. I think the next game will be much more competitive. I think you'll see Miami look to push the pace a little bit more to get some easier baskets. We'll see some better shooting. And then I think, you know, from what I think Miami is going to have to be much more disciplined in regards to guarding some of those cutters and really preventing some of those passes that Jokic makes. And again, that's not easy. I mean, they do it against everybody, but that's what it's going to take to beat a team of this caliber.
Could you play a game on Mount Everest? Crotty Spo said they would play right on Mount Everest.
I love that he said that. That was great. I mean, I finished my career briefly in Denver. I played, which is Mile High. I played in Salt Lake, which is not that high, but high. It does impact you, but it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. And particularly if you're out there for an extended period of time, you acclimate the first 3-4 minutes, you get that burn, right? And then you kind of catch your breath, you get that second wind, and it's all good. So it's not really the advantage. They try to get in your head with it. You see, they have they have it 55,280 right by the free throw line. They use it there. The other, they have a big sign when you come in from the bus area. They have it over the entrance to try to get in your head there too, which has been there for years. So that's, you know, sort of the Denver angle they always try to take.
John Crotty, again, there'll be a local post-game show Sunday night on Bally Sports Sun. You can watch Crotty and Eric Reed and Jason Jackson, Amy Audibert, and hopefully Heat are able to tie the series 1-1. Crotty, explain to me why this segment is over.
I love it. The beating of the dead horse is
ooh, awesome. Yeah, well, that's my style. I've been doing that. that pays the bills, Crotty.
Hey, Crotty.
I love it. And all right, Crotty, boys, have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you next week, I hope.
I'll sell you some money, bro. Double McAllen neat. It usually does it for me.
Nice.
Who am I? Who fair, like, I'm an NBA guy that gets under your skin. Am I Dennis Rodman, Crotty?
Yeah, a little bit. A little Rodman in you. You got a little bit of that in you.
All right. Just dig and dig and dig. All right, there you go, John Crotty. Exactly. Let's take a break and talk a little Heat, and it is what it is. He was a little cantankerous. He came out of the box. He was going to be like, oh, nothing to worry about. And then all of a sudden, he started giving me the business.
Hawk, explain to me why you can't score any points.
That's a tough question. The NBA analyst. I can't explain it. That's why I'm bringing him on. That's his job. He's an actual analyst. Like, I go to my accountant. Hey, how much do I owe in taxes? I don't know. How much do you owe in taxes? What the hell am I bringing you out here for?
Make a point.
All right, let's take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
My brother came all the way from Scottsdale, Arizona to be here tonight. And you're not going to sing for him?
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.